Commuters in Seattle are entering week two of what the city is calling the period of maximum constraint. Residents call the Seattle squeeze, and much worse, as the Alaskan Way Viaduct comes down, a major renovation project to replace a stretch of the elevated highway downtown. It formally closed 2 weeks ago. The sound as thousands of people gathered on and around the highway for an impromptu farewell. Some say they're going to miss the viaduct, but crews are busy tearing it down to replace it with a bi-level tunnel, all because back in 2001, the viaduct suffered damage in a massive earthquake. It was deemed safe, but seismically vulnerable. Yikes. Let's learn more about this huge $3.3 billion project to switch to tunnels with Mark Hallenbeck, director of the Washington State Transportation Center at the University of Washington. Mark, this is your life for the foreseeable future.
This is my life for the foreseeable future, yes. We like to in traffic congestion world, we like to think of it as job security. But since we also live in it, it's always not necessarily a pleasant thing.
So, how long is it going to take?
Yes. Well, the period of maximum constraint is 3 weeks. The ramps to the viaduct come down so that the roadway that leads to it can be redirected to the tunnel. So the tunnel is completed and waiting to be used, but you have to connect the new roadway to the existing roadway.
Yeah.
So after 3 weeks, the tunnel opens. There are still several more weeks of adding additional ramps that can't be done until the rest of it is done. And then at some point in the early spring, then they'll start tolling it, and that will be the next time of potential viadoom.
Viadoom, that's another thing it's being called. I shouldn't laugh. Here in the Boston area where we are, they lowered 93 that ran through the city, this huge rusty green thing. The upset it can cause. There in Seattle, you have 90,000 cars that use this road.
So it's kind of like the Olympics, because if everybody travels the way they would typically travel, traffic congestion will be horrendous. So you want people to telecommute. You want them to switch to the bus if they can, or anything other than drive their car alone.
There's going to be a light rail expansion set to open part of it in 2021. There's 600 daily buses.
So when the light rail opens, buses have to come out of the joint light rail tunnel and up onto the surface streets of Seattle. And that's a problem when surface streets are already relatively congested.
Yeah.
So there are lots of changes in traffic that are occurring in the Seattle area. They're trying to figure out where to put everybody. The good news about economic expansion, which we've been doing for quite a while now, is a healthy economy and everybody has a job. The bad news is traffic sucks. So,
well, and talk about the viaduct itself. People talk about it now with some nostalgia. There's kind of a nostalgia movement going on in Seattle in general, because you've had such a boom there because of Amazon, that people are looking at things like this monster with some affection. I'm reading a woman, Kelly Mucklestone. She works in Pike Place Market. She says, I liked it. It represents the grit of old Seattle. There's a certain thrill in feeling like you might die on your way to Costco. Talk about driving on this thing. It was heart thumping.
Yes and no. You have to decide, you know, the Clint Eastwood quote, do you feel lucky, punk? And it was designed to get through traffic out of the way of the very industrial, active waterfront of Seattle. The Embarcadero in San Francisco was a great example. I-880 on the other side of the Bay Area in Oakland's example of putting a lot of freeway capacity, which we were interested in as little space as we could. But the downside of it in an earthquake zone is what happened in Oakland on I-880.
And in Oakland, it collapsed.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. And lucky for them, even though it collapsed during rush hour, it was during the Oakland A's, San Francisco Giants World Series game, and very few people were on the freeway. So the Seattle Viaduct, the southern end of it, sits on unstable soil. But people didn't understand unstable soil when it was built in the 1950s. So the viaduct has come close to falling down in not just the earthquake you talked about at the beginning, but in earlier earthquakes as well. And so from a public health, public safety perspective, it does need to be removed.
Plus an aesthetic perspective. I mean, you're there on the Puget Sound. It's beautiful. You can see the mountains, you know, across the water. And Gregory Scruggs has this great line in the City Lab. He says the problem is that it blocked this view. Famous fish throwers in the market could nail a Subaru with a sockeye. They were so close to it. in the fish market. So taking it down will do what to that area?
The answer to all urban transportation planning questions is it depends. So it depends. If you're driving in one direction, if you're on the top level, when you have this spectacular view, and many of the people who defended keeping the viaduct love the spectacular view as you drive along. If you're underneath, you don't have that view because you're in the middle of this, you know, hulking structure.
Plus, it's claustrophobic.
Plus, it is claustrophobic. And if you're on top, when it falls down, you fall on top of people as opposed to being in the middle where you get crushed by the concrete. But when you take that away, you get the whole waterfront opens up to the city, which from a city quality of life perspective is spectacular. It's a huge win for living in the area.
So this is happening after a big political battle, but it, as you said, started happening when the tunnel was dug by the world's biggest boring machine, B-O-R-I-N-G. And then you're going to have these hydraulic munchers that are going to remove the girders and columns. And the pictures are incredible of, you know, how this is going to be taken down. Bring your kids, I would say.
But as a demolition person, it's not going to be nearly as exciting as when we blew up the King Dome. I mean, there's no set off the explosions, kaboom, 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 and the whole thing comes crashing down. I mean, that you can't beat that. But this is a much more Pacific Northwest, passive-aggressive kind of way of taking a structure down.
Is the hope that people, when it's finished, the tunnels open, that people maybe keep up some of this behavior they've had to start because of this, riding their bikes, taking the bus or the water taxi?
Yeah, that's actually quite true. One of the things we were hoping would happen, at least me as a transportation professional is hoping people would do, is experiment during this time in order to make your commute better. 10 years ago, I moved to where I could ride my bike to work. It's 12 minutes. It's uphill going home. It's one of the best things about my day is this 12 minutes of paying attention to how hard I'm working, riding my bike up the hill, where the traffic is because I don't want to die. But by the time I get home, the stress of work has gone away. But you'd never know that until you did it.
Well, meantime, Mark Hollenbeck, again, of the Washington State Transportation Center at the University of Washington. More about that nostalgia that seems to be growing up. There's an artist. She actually was a commuter who took all these photographs while driving and turned them into this artwork. She's showing it at the Brian Ono Gallery. And it's called 53 Views of the Alaska Way Viaduct. Most of it's been sold. And there's a couple. They call themselves The Argument. They released a song that they wrote, Oh Viaduct. We're going to hear a little bit of it. Some of the lyrics, they said you'd fall and kill us all, but you were tried and true. I mean, just your sense of the nostalgia that people are going to have there in Seattle.
So Seattle is, you know, we've led the nation in construction cranes for the last 5 years in a row. So there's a tremendous amount of change taking place in the city. And change is tough on people. We like a little change in the change we choose. We don't like other people changing stuff on us. And it's tough on many people. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with nostalgia. There's nothing wrong with historical preservation. On the other hand, the objective is to not kill people. And for the viaduct, that actually is the key issue.
That's Mark Hollenbeck, director of the Washington State Transportation Center at the University of Washington. Mark, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
And good luck to you guys there in Seattle with your viadoom or whatever you call it. Thank you.
The viadoom. That was, I didn't invent any of these. But you have to remember that we have our first streetcar line was initially suggested as being called South Lake Union Transit, which had the unfortunate acronym of being the slut. So people quickly started putting T-shirts out. There was a coffee shop that quickly copyrighted Ride the Slut was the T-shirt. So, you know, the whole, never underestimate the value of a really cool name.
Never underestimate the value of a cool name. Well, as promised, Oh Viaduct, another cool name by the Seattle couple with a very cool name, The Argument.